What's that?
I said, business leader.
It's just a good time.
I'm calling to order the May 14th, 2026 Public Art Committee regular meeting. We begin at 5:37 p.m. We'll kick this off with our roll call.
Thank you. Salma, and please state your full name for the recording.
Setna Arista.
Erica is affected a little bit. Mike?
Michael Haggerty, here.
Dave is absent today. Vicky Jo?
Yep.
Riff?
Rick to have the floor. Is. Oh, Vicky Jo, what's your name?
Vicky Jo. Sandra to Mike.
Full name, please.
First letter. Sounds good.
Judy?
Judy Wetterer.
Duran?
Duran Walker.
And Ron.
Ron Davis.
Wonderful.
Okay. We could move on to our public comment, if anything was submitted. Amber, do you know?
The only email that I received was from a member, Vicky Jo, regarding an item that's on the agenda, and I'll just have her or myself add that comment as we go through the end.
That's good. But when I approve the agenda, we'll move on to the approval of our April 9th, 2026 regular meeting action minutes. Does anyone have any clarification or changes?
The acceptance.
Judy moved. Is there a second?
Maybe a second. A second.
So second. Any discussion or can? Salma?
Yeah, this is for the minutes.
Mike?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
And Ron?
Yes.
Excellent.
So moving on to our action items, we have 5.1, considerations of policy and program changes to the visual art grant program for future cycles.
I attached a report to you. This was asked by you as a body pending your recommendation for grants at your last meeting. I would propose that I go ahead and make a presentation that just summarizes the issues within the staff report, and then the rest of the meeting can be for discussion and action tonight. This is the only item on your agenda tonight, so you can have a substantive conversation as you like. The areas of consideration or concerns that I heard you raise as a body were the process to be used for selection. Did you want to have anything changed about how people were selected, either questions asked or how it was done? Materials requested from the applicants, what are they providing? Are they answering questions about gender, or are they adding additional elements to their applications? Eligibility requirements, meaning like, do they have to have not received award in 5 years, or just not in the last cycle, or what are your thoughts about that? Goals related to the diversity of media. Do we not want to have more than 50% of the grants be murals? And are we going to tell people that? Yes, you can submit murals, but be aware we're not doing all of them. Or participants. Do we want to have diversity goals related to the program? And the potential of targeting of geographic or functional locations, meaning a program that is really doing art along the greenway or in parks or so forth. And the concerns that were raised were maybe some discomfiture, or at least discussion around the PACs making modification of subcommittee recommendations. Does that validate the volunteers' work? What is it? Does it leave the council confused? Is there, is it just rough on the process? The disproportionate allocation of awards to a single site in a grant cohort or across cohorts, right? So you're an artist getting multiple grants, or it this cycle, or getting it last cycle, the time before, and this time, or, you know, that sort of thing. What are the rules around that? Disproportionate allocation of awards to an artist in a grant. So sites and artists, same kind of, are they consolidated for either artists or sites? And then the under or over representation of any demographic, with the under or over representation of the media. This seems to have kind of come up more about murals than anything else. And so at a staff level, we've had a discussion. This is completely new to you. You haven't had a chance to discuss this. But at a staff level, when thinking about and reviewing the staff report and what had happened, we thought that it might be possible that a fairly simple modification could clarify the visual arts subcommittee's role versus the PAC's role. And currently, the visual arts subcommittee kind of takes it through making an issue a recommendation of awards. And the thought is, and then the PAC does it again to the city council. And the thought is that maybe to parse kind of the role that the visual arts subcommittee takes, to have them review the proposals and identify semifinalists. And just take it to, these are the people we think you, the PAC, should interview. And then take your April meeting, much like this April meeting where they came as public members and ended up having 2 minutes, which was what they had in their interviews, right? Just having that be interviews and formally do that. And doing an interview in your April meeting, making recommendation of those semifinalists received from the subcommittee to make a final recommendation to the city council. And so that kind of the redundant recommendation would be eliminated. The visual subcommittee could still be made up of that same diverse set of citizens without having the PAC having additional representation on it. Vicky Jo had made a recommendation that alternately the visual arts subcommittee that serves as the selection panel be reconfigured, and she can talk about that after I've done with my presentation. But so that's, you know, there's a couple of different ways that this could be sliced, but thinking about the changing roles. And then regarding prohibited applications, the consideration might be to limit prior awards for future funding cycles to exclude the most recent visual art grant recipients from applying in the next funding cycle, considering something like 3 or 5 years.
It tends to be like the bus shelter, 5 years.
So let's talk about it after I'm done with the presentation. Limit the number of applications and the number of sites that can apply for within a funding cycle. So you can, you know, how many applications can you put in? Are we fine with infinite, or do we want to limit that number?
I might want to ask the people who served how long it took to do this.
So these are rhetorical questions until the end.
Right.
Should only one application for each site be considered for interviews with subcommittee recommending the one for interview? So this is the idea that the subcommittee would evaluate, say there were 5 in the public market, and they would only bring forward to this body a single application from that site, even sites. Or alternately, should property owners be asked to do that work? And maybe some more time needs to be built into the structure to allow that to happen. So, you know, we open it 3 months before the subcommittee is going to meet, and property owners have 2 months to make selection of their artists, and then the artists, knowing that they have the endorsement of the property, have a month to apply. Right. Something to be thought about with some implications. And then how many sites should properties be able to submit for? Maybe we want to limit that they pick a site, and that's the only thing that's moving, you know, one site. And then thinking about explicit selection criteria, the visual art grant program has never had any explicit criteria. Nothing's been provided to the applicants. Some guidance has been given to the committee in making selection, but there's certainly nothing explicit about the criteria. And so some thoughts about that, and you can, you know, add as you like, they could be anything, but some thoughts were, should aesthetics be listed? Innovation, certainly in the workshops with the applicants, I've said this is a place where you can be a little more experimental than if we were doing a call for a specific project. I mean, this program likes to see that possibility. Diversity in media, including having murals be no more than, say, some percentage, 51% of the grants. Diversity of gender, race, and ethnicity, is that an explicit goal of the program or is it not? Broad geographic distribution. It seems like in the program we've tried to do that, or is there a preference for a specific geography? Then we need to maybe articulate that. And then a preference for, and this may or may not true, but a preference for Emeryville or 946 residency or employment. And maybe that's, again, some percentage of the grants, not a requirement, but some thought, or just you have a preference, but you can also succeed without being. And so we're looking to the PAC to propose any additional criteria for consideration of body, or if this is feeling like, hey, there's a lot of questions and this isn't great in a 9-person big, the PAC as a body, you certainly could just decide to have it tonight embody a subcommittee to further discuss this, right? Like if you don't feel like you're getting to the end of the discussion and all the decisions to be made, one option is just say, let's create a subcommittee with this kind of direction of your initial thought. And so to summarize, I would say, and I'll leave this up. I think I have, this is literally my last slide. So I'll just leave this up as I open it to the chair's facilitation of discussion. But should the PAC interview semifinalists rather than the visual art grant subcommittee? That's that big, like, do we change this process? Should property owners select a single artist to apply a future visual art grant cycles, or the subcommittee nominate a single artist by site for PAC consideration? Is there some way to limit the work that has to be done for the number of applicants that we're receiving? Should artists award in prior cycles be limited in the next cycle or for X amount of years? Should artists be limited to 2 or 3 maximum applications per year cycle? Should explicit criteria for grant selection be added to the call? And if so, what criteria? Should there be a geographic target priority for the call? And I think if we keep these up, you can kind of work through each of these questions.
I would just like to know how we run the bus shelter.
Sure. The bus shelter, like all of our calls, has a selection panel versus a subcommittee. That selection panel is brought with recommendations to this body to approve.
Now, go back. How did we pick the panel?
Sure. That was a good idea. So the programs, when they are created, have been created with the body of the selection panel. Always having one, in the case of the bus shelter, I believe it's one PAC member. Some of the other calls have had 2 PAC members. And
I'm just adding about the bus shelter. Bus shelter, one PAC member. Who are the other people on the panel?
An outside art professional, a city employee, a community member, and the bus filter, I think it is that it's 2 PAC people. And then for the purchase award.
No, I'm only talking about the bus filter right now. This is it, bus filter. So do we pay the art professional who comes in?
We give them $150.
And who else do we pay on that path?
The community member, and I think that's it.
Okay, so when artists apply to the bus shelter, they send in 5 images to CAFE or some other site?
They do it through Laserfish, the same instrument that we use for the
group. All right, and then that panel looks at every applicant?
Yes.
Okay, and then they make a recommendation. And then they bring it to the PAC. And we just vote yes or no on their what they pick.
I cannot think of a time that there was a modification.
Okay, so that's how that one runs. Now, on the grant, how do we set up the juring panel for the public art grant?
The visual art grant program was set up differently than selection panels, which were created by the PAC, who I'm naming who's on it. They were created by the Community Services Committee. And it was mirroring the community promotions grants.
Oh, I see.
And just a little history, and I know you're frustrated.
No, I get it. Now that helps me understand how it was.
Yeah, and so those community promotion grants had always had two Park and Rec and two PAC people. And those community promotion grants were starting to have visual art elements, and they weren't coming to the PAC, and they weren't using public art money, and it was getting confusing for the applicants, for the committee members. And so a decision was made to use public art money to actually fund visual art grants, but mirror this community promotions process, use that same process. And so the committee was going to be the same committee. It was going to be two Park and Rec and two PAC. It was going to have the same call, and you just picked if it was community promotions or visual art. And that was how it piloted in 2022. 2024, it was like way too many applications for them to be married in the way, you know, in 2022 it was 4 applications, undersubscribed. In 2022, it was 29 applications. In 2024, sorry, if I said the wrong number, 29 applications. And the same panel sat through all the interviews of the community promotions, then sat through all the interviews, the visual art grant. That was Ron and Turin. Yeah. And
Trump's.
Everybody involved on the Park and Rec Committee, the PAC, the applicants said that was not something we ever wanted to do again. So then this year, 2026, they were further separated. Different applications, but the same panel.
Oh, you had to do both.
No. So the same panel structure, which had been approved by the city council. The city council said, per the following of that process, that particularly on the community promotions grants, that it seemed odd that you were having community grant things that were about bicycles or education or the senior center, yet you were only having the park and the art people evaluate them, when maybe it made sense to have a broader consideration of the community in the context of these grants. And so that made fine sense for the community promotions grants. It was a little less precisely needed for the visual art grants, though it may make sense, right? These are to benefit Emeryville, to benefit perhaps, you know, the residential side where we don't get as much development. So maybe this is an opportunity to get in there. So maybe we do want a different perspective. Maybe we want the active transportation, you know, to be able to see this, you know, focus on some areas that might otherwise not be seen. So maybe the panel makes sense, or maybe it doesn't, right? So that's something you could revisit in your actions tonight.
How many people on that panel list?
There were 5 people on the panel.
And before that, it used to be 4, but you added 1 more, and so we had.
So the
4 members.
So the PAC had been 2, it was reduced to 1. Park and Rec had been 2, it was reduced to 1. EDAC was added, and budget and advisory committee was the other one. And then BPAC and housing, no, aging was the
thing. So we had people
so that was 4.
Uh-huh.
And then the 5th seat could be anyone from the BPAC, the housing, or the budget advisory committee.
So they were all volunteers who, people who were on committees?
Yes, all volunteers from
committees. That's great.
Yeah. So in what was brought to you tonight was not a question of, did you want to change that process? But you certainly.
I think, well, I think it sounds good that everybody was there.
Yeah, no.
I like knowing everybody was there.
And the process through the subcommittee, and Mike was on it this year, was very productive. People were fed, were grateful, were, you know, enjoyed the process. If the public art.
How long did it take?
There was a lot of, you know, I think, like fruitful debate about a lot of the work. I think the thing that was like kind of challenging was all of the like multiple candidates within same spots.
Yeah.
So we had to go through, thank you, like, you know, Amber kind of, you know, did a pretty good job with this of doing kind of like a ranked voting approach, where it's like we had to kind of go through different levels of like ranking these people to filter down to the individual candidates that we would want to evaluate for a spot. But it was like, it got really complicated.
I know.
A lot of people.
And I think further, because they had multiple sites,
yeah,
it was sort of like a logic problem of like, okay, so Chris.
Well, you're doing public art for every site, right? But right. Someone does usually in a city for one site.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Yeah, it is like seven calls all the time.
Yeah, at the same time.
Yeah, because then that definitely became part of the equation of like how we were doing it. Of like, well, that person was, you know, denied for this location, so should we give them a little bit more of emphasis toward the next location? But then it's like, maybe. Like, why are we playing favorites at all anywhere?
Because we know people in town, but
yeah.
So how long did it take you to do this, judge? How many sites?
So we did a lot of offline before pre-read.
You selected
the day of the event, okay. Yeah, which is like all the ranked voting.
So to be clear, between 2024 and 2026, we went from 29 applications to 50.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
those 50 applications. Half of them were on multiple applications for sites, and they were asked to evaluate those initially to get down to them. And then the finalists from those initial and the last 25 that had been individual locations were then ranked for interviews, and 25 interviews were called for.
So 50 applicants were vying for how many locations were there again?
There were multiple locations. There is a site location I could pull up if
at least 25, would you say?
Yeah.
And there was a possibility that all 25 and the goal was that all 25 locations would have representative art.
Many of the sites that were offered in the call originally did not get applications. No, not. I would say we were making commitments to property owners that if they were in the program, they would be considered, but we weren't saying, you know, we would make sure that there was a successful application or even an application for that site.
I guess the thing that I guess I'm trying to understand is if you're an artist and you're vying for a grant and I'm told that there are a specific number of sites that I want to potentially put my artwork on, and I'm choosing multiple sites, but some of the sites don't get picked just because they don't get picked, but not because my design wasn't good. I'd rather know as an applicant going in that whatever I'm putting my design efforts towards is definitely a possibility to happen. Otherwise, there's no like, why am I spending time over here for something that may not get picked?
The PAC may want to review the sites to think about that, but I don't know that I know of a site that's ever been like, I just don't want to fund that site. There are sites that are less competitive. They just have lower visibility.
Right.
They're on side streets rather than major thoroughfares, okay. Or they're more competitive. They're on a major public facility.
Okay, so that still goes to the point of, why are we putting them in there if we really don't want to use them? Is
because
what I'm saying.
I would say there are maybe four that are going to really meet that criteria. And they're pretty, you know, if there's a good artist that's on it. And often, like the Stanford Park, there were six artists that applied for that little wall. It was very competitive. And so in the end, it was pretty likely that that site and the top artist were going to get funded.
I can explain what happened to us. So we got expressions of interest from five artists, and we reviewed them. And for one, kind of dropped out on his own, and then another, we wanted to see a design, a mock-up, and one said that he wasn't going to compete on that basis. That was Nigel.
Okay.
And then, so there were three others. We decided we liked all of them. And so we gave each of them our support, letters of support, and left the decision up to the committees, to the process, as to which one would be selected.
I do see your point, though. You know, there's a lot of locations. And during like in the evaluation of a lot of the work, there definitely is like a feeling of like, oh, that's not like a great location.
Right.
And then, but the artists don't know that at the time, right? They don't know kind of like what we're orienting around. But at the same time, and I understand like why that would be valuable to know. So maybe there is a process where it's like, you can kind of evaluate locations first.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's, to do that also kind of like limits the artist's ability to do innovation and activate a space that maybe was like unexpected. So I think like there is kind of a balance there, right? Of yes, there's maybe a location that's not as exciting or as attractive or as interesting to the city, but it could be an opportunity for an artist to really take a interesting swing and have like a really innovative approach.
Okay, so that being said, that still might be useful information to know. But even like when you're doing the call, like saying, well, you know, these really are our top spaces. Now, this one, I mean, it's not in stock, but if you have innovative ideas that you can think, to your point, can really activate that area, go for it.
I think so. I think it would be helpful, even if it was to what you just said of identifying like top locations.
Yeah.
And then people know like, okay, these are the ones that like we really want to try to activate.
Right.
It's going to be more competitive.
Yeah. Especially if you're an artist and you want that grant money. I mean, you want to put your eggs in a basket that have a greater possibility than a basket that doesn't have a great possibility.
That is true. The other issue about this, however, is that some sites that are attractive get many artists asking about them. So if there's, you know, there were 39 artists that submitted, if they said, oh, I'm not going to those lower sites, I'm only going to ask the public market or the Emory go-round
or the high school.
That they may, the property owners may be like, you know what, I can only do five letters of support or, you know, make a choice. And other artists may no longer be in the program. And maybe that's one way to
weed.
And this is also, to your point, is the question of, do you want a geographic scope, right? Either, you know, the greenway or public facilities to make maybe a little more explicit. What are those preferred sites?
Right.
Where does money that is controlled by this body want to be targeted to? And I think that question is getting to directly what you're asking about, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, if we are biased to spending money on the greenway, should we say that? Like,
what Mike said about just if you're creative enough to know that you can truly activate a lesser site, then, you know, there's artists that have the ego and the hubris to say, hey, you know, I can make this happen. And to your point about 30 people at public market, and then they know there's less people competing here, they say, you know, I have less people challenging me for this, so I can make it happen. So I'm just saying more information. That basically, I think that's all I'm saying.
I just got to hear, like,
if there's a bias in ranking, there are many government
official programs that give priority. Priority is different than bias. That's to say, on a priority application, oh, you get an extra point in your ranking, as opposed to, well, we might like it, you know, we think we like this. It's a sort of a loosey-goosey term, bias. I don't think it's appropriate for a proposal, because people say, what does that mean?
I appreciate your use of language appropriate to program development.
Yeah.
And certainly, I think that many of these questions are about making explicit priorities, whether that's about location or the applicant pool that is selected or the media's installed, right? To thinking about making explicit. And the program was initially very much created to be very flexible, right? It could be any location, it could be anybody, it could be any media. And so it is very different than a precise call that is maybe the media specified, the location, the budget, you know.
And I think it's exciting, that part of it.
Yeah.
I agree.
And so given those values, right, you may not want to get too tight, but you may want to have some location priorities or some other sets of priorities.
Well, that up next year, I'm going to put some challenging ones there that maybe no one will want. But I think it's okay. I like that, that people find these. The easy ones are going to be the ones they pick, the walls that are big. Yeah. But I don't know if I think it's fair to tell muralists they can't. I don't know if I like that part. That 50% of it can't be, you know, you guys, what do you think about limiting muralists? I don't think that's fair.
That's not eliminating them. It's just letting them know that 100% of murals we're not going to necessarily do 100% of murals. I mean, so it's not a limit. I mean, it's not exclusion.
Part of what some of these questions may offer is the guidance that you think is appropriate to give in the workshops, right? There may be a difference between it is in the guidelines and there's no flexibility, but the workshop, you know, I did say things that may be overreach from necessarily what you want from the program, and by maybe articulating that we can say things. For example, the mural, I would say it doesn't necessarily need to be in the guidelines, but that is something that I've said in the workshops, right? That this is not exclusively a mural program. We're open to murals, but we are looking for other media and we're trying to get innovations and maybe collaborations. I mean, I just saw my first 3D mural, you know, meaning not even AR, but like actual structural engineering in it. So like maybe there's some new collaborations or photography with murals,
I mean, I think we are pretty saturated with murals, so pushing the artists to think out more outside of the box and up their level of innovation for their own practice is not a bad thing.
As well as how many muralists are there who live and work in Emory, though? Well, so we're gonna I can't imagine that there are
people didn't have to live in Emeryville to play.
No, but there is a disproportionate number of the muralists applying to the program that are outside of Emeryville versus the non-muralists who are applying to the program. And so when you look at the funding, you end up seeing non-muralists Emeryville funded and then some muralists from out of town. Besides Joey.
I think the only thing with that is then we need to make sure that the budget makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like if someone's doing a 3D thing off the wall that might need permitting because it's over 8 inches off the wall, we need to know like we may not give away 10 murals, but we may do 4 because there's some structural pieces to it that make it different. So
I agree.
Also, if you end up reducing the eligibility for artists to reapply, you will be changing some of the norms of, you know, mural. You'll be moving away from the only Emeryville mural.
Well, that's okay with me.
Sure, but to answer the question, right, that was asked, like, is it what are the?
We can't keep giving the art to the same people.
Stop applying.
People will stop applying.
We're favoring.
I just want to say that the community promotions grants does things about that very different. Just.
I know, I've been on it, and but when you're funding a class that happens over and over, it's not the same as funding a $20,000 mural over and over.
This is kind of like addressing some of this, because one of the things we were talking about was maybe trying to get more diversity and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, and so maybe putting that in the description. I don't know that that's necessarily something that you need to do. Maybe we just need to do a better job of marketing to those groups, meaning getting to areas where folks, because I don't know that everybody knows about Emeryville's program. So just finding a way to, I don't know if it's creative art groups that are women groups or groups of people of color, whatever, but just letting them know about the program so that the artist, it's kind of like the Field of Dreams thing, if you bullet, they will come. So if you let them know, maybe they'll apply. So I don't know that we need to be specific in the language about, well, you know, we're trying to do 50% of these for women or people of color, just let them know so that they can apply.
I think we did good on our ratio of color.
Yeah, I think the demographics of applicants versus Emeryville's demographics versus the regions were fairly good, right? Okay. Like it was a quarter of all applications were women. There was matching demographic racially to the population as a whole. So it didn't feel like the application were weak,
okay. Right? And in that, when you get, but really, we have to not, we have to make it more like the bus shelter. Every 5 years, you can reapply
if you win.
Right?
Yeah,
that has to be it. No two grants to one person, that shouldn't even ever come up. No artist gets two grants in one call. That will never happen, should never happen. And then every 5 years. Now, if that doesn't mean that their partner can't get a grant in that 5 years. Or their wife or husband.
Sure.
Okay. Is it true that on the bus shelter?
Personal word.
On the bus shelter, if someone, say I got the grant, my husband couldn't apply for after I win.
He could.
He can't apply. So your wife can apply for the bus shelter.
Yeah, it's not fair.
Well, I was told that, like,
except for the
person, no, my wife can't apply. I think that was, that's, I was
the,
all on
the purchase states that if your spouse or partner or yourself is on the pack, you cannot be considered for the purchase award.
The purchase award. But for the bus shelter, can Mike's wife apply? You know, I was so while I was on the pack, my husband got the bus shelter. Just thought I'd tell you.
We may not have known. Yeah.
Well, he everyone knew. But who told you, who won't let the people be at, get the bus shelter? Was it the city attorney?
This has been raised in a separate conversation.
Yes, I know.
And action brought to the city council about concerns from the PAC that this affects interest in being on the body. Mm-hmm. And they have brought it to the budget advisory committee. And, you know, it's an open discussion.
It's really hard to get people to apply.
No, the PAC is doing much better than all the other committees.
Oh, really?
You have 8 applicants for 4 spots.
Okay.
And, well,
you join the PAC.
Well, you have three of those are incumbents.
But people haven't applied?
Yeah.
Oh, then the other committees aren't, like the housing doesn't have people
apply. The housing has had a really hard time having quorum, and was the recent application calls closed without applications to a number of committee that would be sufficient for them to have quorum. And they extended the deadline and did get to enough applicants to have quorum. But
hasn't Parks and Rec had problems in the past too?
Parks and Rec, Commission on Aging, Housing, definitely. Even the Planning Commission.
The Commission on Aging? Right there.
Anybody who wants to leave the PAC to go to the Commission on Aging, we can have everyone who left the PAC to retire. They did not do the pipeline that I had hoped for.
Is this a free-floating conversation about all the different issues, or are we going to have some sort of, let's be able to address this?
Sorry, Mike, your wife can't.
I think the structure as offered was free-foaming on all the discussion questions.
Okay.
However, if you would like, as a body, to go to the first question, perhaps we can resolve that. There's alternately changing the structure of the committee or leading the committee as it is, but changing the function as proposed.
Yeah. That's the problem I had on the last thing. I do not want to make a decision why the artists are here. If you bring them and they make their 2-minute presentation, then I want them to go. I don't want them to witness the vote or the discussion.
I thought we didn't talk about it today,
no. No, you talked to them.
It'll be have to be structured differently, but I feel
it.
Yeah.
Then it can't be that way.
Why? Yeah. What's the reason why?
Because I don't want to talk about their work in front of them. Yeah. I don't want to say I hate this.
You can be diplomatic.
Not my forte, but
this is never.
It kind of depends on what each way we vote in terms of what Vicky's saying. Because if we both restructure them to interview them, then it's a whole different thing. If we vote to keep it the way it is, then what she's saying has merit.
Yeah, talking about them. I like to see their presentations. I really like to ask them questions because that was very interesting.
Because you grouped after everybody left.
Yeah.
So we formed after everyone does their presentations, and it was a long conversation. Really trying to break down who these candidates should be. I don't think that the people should be sitting here waiting for us to go through how many locations and then also.
No, I don't think they should be here.
So my question then would be, what is the purpose of the subcommittee versus the PAC?
That's right. What is that question?
Yeah, I think that's one of the first questions that we should be asking, because we've had this issue, I think, this recently, but then the cycle before, where the subcommittee makes their decision and presents it to the PAC. And I think then it becomes more of a consensus decision. And it just doesn't look good. Because if I'm the artist and I know that there's a wishy-washy committee, I'm going to bypass that committee and go straight to city council. And if I'm a committee member, I don't want to waste my time on the subcommittee.
Right.
It's going to come back to us anyway. So I think we also need to establish that kind of boundary and decide, because the amount of time spent in that subcommittee, if we were to do it here, we'll be here all night. Yeah. And then we'll have to have all the artists come in. So, I mean, do we want a subcommittee doing what they're doing? Do we want to be informed? Or, how do we want to make that happen?
Well, to me, how long did it take you, honestly, this time to do what you did with the other four
people? So, with the pre-read work that we were doing, that was at least, a week's, couple hours, over the course of the week, we were going back and forth. Amber was doing a ton of work. And so by the time we actually got to the subcommittee, we were probably done a whole night's worth of, subcommittee discussion.
6 hours?
Oh, at least. Yeah. Because you're reviewing everything, you're going back and forth. We did multiple rounds of this and just kept coming and going. So I think that was necessary for us to have an effective subcommittee meeting in person. Because if we hadn't done that, we would have never got out of that room.
Yeah.
Like that would have been a whole evening. But when we actually did end up, you know, going through all the presentations, we went back and went through all of our own individual kind of rankings and kind of, you know, each one of us kind of like did our own rankings and score of like what we thought our mix of who we wanted to kind of, you know, hit that budget. And then we brought all those back together as a group, debated those numbers and found out where each one of us had overlap and ranked those. So it's like, okay, all of us kind of identified this as the top one, second one, third one. And then you found those overlaps, and then we started to debate those. Mm-hmm. And then we went through and debated that, and we were working towards the goal of what the PAC had decided as the budget, so like that 120, whatever it was. And we were orienting around trying to hit that number. And so the mix was all, one, how do we get the proper mix of a representative program that's going to have really good work across the places that we want to activate with the right types of work and having a nice balance of it to that number. And then we brought that to PAC.
So that set up like the community grant
it was
program.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Can I say, so just hearing Mike talk about that whole process, I feel like we should probably keep it the way it is and let their decision be the decision, because if we're putting together a subcommittee and they're going through it and taking the time, they're doing, I feel like when it gets to the pack, we're basing it up on emotion and kind of like what we see and what we feel. They're doing that and then more. They're deep diving. So when we kind of come back and circumvent and say yay, nay to what they've done all this work for, I feel like we're doing the subcommittee a disservice, personally. And I feel like if we select them to be the subcommittee, we need to stick with whatever their decision is.
Me too. I agree.
That's just only kind of like be informed, not made for decision makers.
I mean, they're putting in the work. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not just, oh, that's pretty. Oh, I like that one better than the other one. I mean, it's a deeper guy.
The work, but it can't be the whole work because the committee has to do work. Otherwise, we're just rubber stamping it. You know, we have a responsibility as individual committee members. And, you know, I've been on many, many panels where there were official choices, but anyone's free to bring up another choice and make a coaching argument for it. And if we're not doing that, I don't think we're doing our work as a PAC.
And I will say, like the discussion that we had in the PAC meeting around, one, do we increase the budget to kind of get a better mix? Do we have, what's the deal with these multiple candidates in one location? Mm-hmm. These are things that we were debating quite extensively as well.
Yeah.
And so when we came to here, I thought that was still a pretty useful discussion to have because we were having as well. And I do feel that like the work that the subcommittee had done still was reflected in like 75% of the final decision, right? So I think like the work that the subcommittee had done was still fruitful to help the PAC make that final push to the final decision. But it's like the opportunity for that thing to spiral out if like we just rug pull the whole thing and let's reset the whole list of candidates. That's really hard to do on the spot, like with everyone in the room and like all the artists are here. So it's like, I guess the question is, like, how much do you take the decisions and the advice of the subcommittee into consideration to the PAC? And it's like, is it really just kind of...
Why is that under question?
I don't need to think it should be.
Yeah.
What was wrong with the process that we went through? I'm just curious, like, where are the pain points?
My things were, to me, were that there were repeat artists who had just been given a couple of grants in the last cycle before,
right?
Then I think those issues will be gone.
And
there will be much less reason for the PAC to have any issue with the.
From what I'm hearing, that around this possible change is that there's the thought to not make this possible change, but to ask the subcommittee to perhaps have some optional or alternates if additional funding was recommended by the body. So the PAC could say, hey, we want to do more because we have view of the budget, we see the mix that would come of adding more, we're willing to take that to the city council because we recommend about money. But the there's kind of a commitment by this body, perhaps in that part, that you're within the budget, you're taking the subcommittee's recommendation. And then the thought that you're giving more precise direction about some of the things you debated. No more than one site. An artist can only be recommended to this body for funding for one site. No artist that received a grant within the last 5 years, if that's what your criteria is, who's been awarded funds, will be recommended in this cycle. They wouldn't even have applied to have that be the case. So the subcommittee shouldn't have to do work. But, you know, some of the things that perhaps had you looking at that, I think some of the questions, you know, if you want explicit criteria around geography, right, that came up as your question, you know, do you want to be explicit for the subcommittee's direction there as well? You're looking for sites with these criteria and then telling the artists, we're looking for sites with the above criteria, great visibility, you know, public access, you know, however you want to describe kind of what priority sites are, but innovative solutions on non-priority sites will be better.
Yeah, I think there's like a few key structural things that we can adjust with the subcommittee and how we kind of go about it to help better inform the PAC's decision. And I think one of those things is kind of like figuring out the multiple candidate location type of thing, and like, let's just clean that up, right? Like, let's make it so it's like we don't have like all those issues. But I think the other thing that might be useful for the PAC is for us on the subcommittee, we kind of just we oriented around making a recommendation for that one specific recommendation, like the 120, like whatever it was, the 120, and this was the recommendation. And I think what could be useful for the help of debate is if this is the key recommendation, and then here's like a flex of honorable mentions, like that little buffer of like, so that you, the PAC all knows, the people that we decided that were just outside of the decision of like, you know, accepting, but their work was still good, it helps the PAC, because I saw it kind of come up, right? It was like, oh, let's give them more money. I love that project. But the PAC didn't know like what our choices were, like, oh, that was really close. Like, oh, these three were like, you know, they were in the mix right to the end. I think that's helpful to know for like the PAC to kind of know like what that honorable mention kind of like just outside the scope was. And then they can kind of like make the decision.
Well, I have a question too about this process. About having the artists here. The city council discusses things in private. Can committees do that?
That's, I mean,
the closed session.
That's the question I kind of wrote down after your earlier statement. The Visual Art Grant Committee is a public meeting as well. The subcommittee is a public notice meeting as well, but it functions to, in its operations, where there's, you know, 29 people have interviewed and it's late and people are tired. So they go home because if they were the first one, they're not waiting to the end, and everybody before him has left. And so they just leave. And there's physically a space to go step away to. And it serves sort of as the closed session aspect. But it is a public meeting, and it is, I mean, if somebody said, I want to stay, they would be well within their rights. I mean, there's no reason they couldn't
come into the room.
Yes.
They could come into the room with us.
Yeah, it was a public meeting. It did not end as a public meeting.
So it's like, even though we go into like the kind of back room, someone would be like, let me in. I want to hear what you're saying.
Well, we couldn't lock the door, right? The door would have to be open, right. And they would walk in and they'd sit in a chair, and that's absolutely the way.
Stare at people while they.
And so there is a question where selection panels do not function in that same way. And so I think this is a question worth exploring with the city attorney, When can deliberation about granting funds be held in closed session? Or must it always be in the public view?
Mm-hmm.
And it may be the answer is it must be in public view. I don't have any. The reason closed session happens for city councils is because they're negotiating deals, like literally, what terms are we willing to offer? So it's like saying, we're not going to tell them how much money we have to pay while they get to hear us. If they're only going to ask for 15 million, then we're only going to pay them 15 million. And so there is a clear set of rules that I don't know because I happen to do those deals. And so I don't know that there is a pathway to preserving either the visual or grant.
Well, I'm happy to check and see.
Yeah, I'm happy to check, but I don't think I can answer it for you tonight.
And that's why we always lose money when we make deals in the city, because everybody knows our hand. But anyway.
Also, before we go into deliberation, be like, if you would like to leave, you can leave. Or you can stay. Like, give them the option. I mean, I think it's useful for artists to hear critique, whether however painful it is or not. Because the point is, they are trying to get these public art projects. And so if they understand the criteria of what we're debating on, it helps them.
Mm-hmm.
As painful as it might be for them.
Yeah, I think one of the things that happened, you started to ask this question, between the subcommittee and the PAC is that everyone in the room did get an award and people who weren't in the room lost their recommendation from the subcommittee. So that, to your, you know, summary at the beginning, leaves, you know, certainly the staff that were reviewing my staff report, like, why did this happen? Like,
that's right.
You know, like, that's
not Donna. You, if he had come, he'd got Ward.
You, somebody who called in on, because a couple made their presentations on Zoom.
But I mean, for the PAC meeting. I think the other complication was somebody who was talked about a lot by the subcommittee, and there were maybe the strongest feelings about not funding a project on a subcommittee discussion moved forward.
Forward.
The subcommittee likes to report.
Was it the ECCL one?
No, the kids.
It's this corner right here.
Oh, this one.
I think there was like also like on a bit of like, why do a thing in here?
Right. And I think that
just this small kind of like corner for only people to come into this room, and this isn't even like televised. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so it's like, who's seeing this? It's like public art should be public.
I agree with that. I didn't vote
that. That's what subcommittee's feeling was too. We feel like public art should be out in the world.
But as illustration of, could that have been more critique, right? Would that be, if two PAC members had been on the subcommittee, would they be willing to say, well, we talked a lot about this room and whether
I would like two PAC members on that committee. But if you're going to have five people on the committee, or is the rule, how do you do community grants now?
Many grants have the same structure as
five people on the committee. Okay. From each committee.
The each committee, the park and rec.
Not every committee.
There are four committees that are dedicated, and the fifth seat, is set among three other committees. Rotating. It can be anyone from any of
them. The last meeting you did that. The last meeting in every meeting, you did that. The artists gave you?
Yes.
They did.
As far as I can tell, I haven't heard anyone wanting to make a motion to make this change. So But there has
So I'm going to say, if you're going to make us have to decide this at the meeting, then we need to see the amount of points these people gave.
In the subcommittee?
In the subcommittees.
I don't even think we could be safe this.
It was
real kind of fast and rough.
Right. Well, that blue, the person in blue, she wasn't recommended.
Person in blue.
The what blue thing.
No.
She wasn't a finalist.
No.
She just came.
And it wasn't because it was a site selection issue. We ended up with kind of, it wasn't that the work wasn't great, right?
Oh, she's a good thing.
Yeah, work was fantastic. But it was, why are we funding something that doesn't get enough eyes?
Well, so see, even knowing that would have made...
It would have been nice for them to know this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so I'm hearing not interested in changing it this way, but thinking about adding points, the work of the subcommittee being provided to the PAC,
right,
and that being public disclosure, some of that critique comes out of that as well.
They could see it. The artists could see that.
That may relate to having some explicit criteria for review, right? So those points are tied to some goals of the program. So we started to talk about that here, right? You know, are there explicit criteria that you want added to the program, or get at least given to, I mean, both communicated to the applicants, but also given to those viewing, and maybe that includes priorities around locations and priorities around media, you know, is there, you know, innovation? Like, it's not that you're not giving points for murals, but you're giving extra points for, it's got dimensionality, or it's got collaboration. And collaboration could be another criteria.
Oh, yeah. But when you put it out, you say artists and artist teams.
We have probably not emphasized teams.
Put down teams there.
Yeah, sure.
So teams. Artists and artist teams.
Mm. This is a question I have. So if say you're on the selection committee and you have an artist that's creating their artwork for a specific site, and yet the art, let's just say, I mean, the design and whatever, it's just so damn good, but you don't really feel like it's going to work for that site, and you want to dominate them and put it someplace else, is that a possibility?
I think that becomes challenging, because a lot of this stuff is associated with the letter of recommendation from the site location, right? So we can't just take a piece of art, it's recommended for another location. Right.
Well,
not all art, every piece of art. Yeah. So if that's not a, that's not a case where it was a recommendation, but it's like somebody said, hey, you know, I want to put this on such a site, but you say, yeah, you know, as the committee say, I don't really think it will work for that site, but the artwork is so strong, we could put it someplace else.
Yeah. There are,
they would be funded by a different source. Is that what you're saying? Or the same source?
Well, no, it would just be
a grant. Art grant.
It would just be an art grant for site. If they apply for site A, but it actually, we feel like
that committee would do a lot more work. That committee.
I think the same.
A number of sites had no applications, and it was not clear to me. And I contacted the properties to ask, were they not contacted? Did they not respond to artists? What happened? And one said, oh, I'm sorry, were we late to respond? And I don't know if they just didn't respond to artists who contacted them. I'm not CC'd on those communications. Maybe we want media, I mean, like, maybe we want to track that in some way. But and another property specifically said, oh, we thought this process worked, where we were accepted as a site and you selected art, and then afterwards we were told this is the artist pool, you can select from them and they'll do a mural on your wall. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, and so all to, you know, to your suggestion, you know, there may be a different way to structure this, of selecting artists to be an artist pool and then selecting sites for that artist pool. I mean, that could be a different approach.
That gets tricky, though, because it's like, then the location owner, whoever the people are, don't know who's going to end up being selected for their location.
Well,
and we have to go through a whole other process of them validating and choosing, and it's like, okay, versus, you know.
I don't think that's
great.
Say,
I don't think it's great.
No, they could change their minds.
But with ECAP, that I just didn't, I only picked the one I liked.
I will say that's the other issue. And ECCL, for example, has a school city committee, and they want to review all applications a month in advance. And so artists need to have their work for that site a month earlier. And so that may need to be built into this, you know, that created a, and then people would submit after that committee had already met and try and ask the principal or somebody, and it just, it got very convoluted. And so this is the question of, like, maybe the site having a more explicit one application, that's it, maybe cleans up some of that uncertainty. Erica, you wanted to make comment?
So Stanley Andrew does the same thing. We've worked with them on three mural programs for this. How they do it is the PAC will pick the artists, they'll do a dot exercise. The sites are chosen, but it is known to sites that they will get a proposed three artists to choose from. What that does is it actually eliminates like how many walls there are, which is actually better because everybody wants a free mural on their wall if you're a business owner. But if you're really like down for the art, then you'll be okay with that. And so that's how they've run it in San Leandro is we choose the artists. They go to these property owners and they say, you have these three artists to choose from, pick which mural you want, essentially. But they very much go to the business owners and explain the process to them and make sure they're like on board. And so there's a little bit of back-end work to getting these people with that process, but it makes it a lot easier so that the artist isn't contacting the property. That the first year that we helped facilitate this was a huge pain point for the artist to have to contact the building owners. They've never done it before. They don't understand the process and the etiquette of doing it. They get a lot of pushback because a lot of building owners already have a choice of who they want there, but that may not be who's selected. So they'll get like not great email responses from the building owners, you know, and they're just trying to apply and get their application in. And also they then have to rely, like you're saying, on the response of the business owner to get their application in. And so they found in San Leandro just eliminating that process, having the city do all of the ownership communication and just having them be on board with like, you will get through with a selection of three. If you don't like the three, we will move on to a different site. That's it. Like, you don't get a mural that day.
And I think part of the complication is that we're also all media, right? So that is a structure for maybe the mural component, and certainly the property owners that we've worked with the most have, you know, offered a wall, right? And so finding other locations, which is I think in part where I've asked, like maybe having the Greenway where it has some walls, it has some park locations, it has some sculptural opportunities, you know, like maybe that's a way to focus some outreach by staff ahead of time to really have understanding of, you know, some mural opportunities along it, and having those property owners either signed on or they're not participating, and being able to be really clear about what the process, how they need, you know, like, do we develop a contact form for the artists and have the property owners, you know, given that contact form, understand that that's what's coming. They should expect that in this period, and they need to respond by this date, or they're no longer participating in our program.
So for property owners, it's up. If they're privately funding, then we got we don't really have, do we have any, we don't really have any say in terms of what they do, but they're just going to be part, they want to be part of the program, and they're saying, okay, our wall's available.
Yes.
They can be part of the grant program, but they're not the final decision maker in terms of who the artist selected is.
Right.
They can just get a recommendation.
So they are able to eliminate any artist they don't approve of proposal, right? Like, so they have first right of review. They, if Tom and John and Larry all come in and Larry, they don't like their work, they say, I'm not giving you a letter of support, and that artist is not moving forward with an application for their site.
Okay.
Yeah. And so there, I think there have been good artists who have gotten frustrated. You know, they've talked to three or four property owners. I get emails that say, I've talked to people. I'm very frustrated. I'm not getting responses. And so we ended up getting a lot for some of those. They would end up on city sites, right? We'd have more applications for city sites because then we could get a response to them. But it, maybe they've just been rejected by those other sites because of the aesthetics of them. And, you know, so that's why I say maybe it would be helpful if I was CC'd on responses from property or so I understand who's actually not wanted. And we can say, hey, this is an artist that's, you know, not.
Well, and I think the program is for artists. It's not for building owners.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. That's who it's for. And so, like, you're either on board with it or you're not. And, like, I think we have a surplus of walls for the most part.
Yeah, but given the program,
the artists are going to be like, oh, I don't want it on this wall. They're going to be like, yeah, give me a wall.
Sure.
Or give me a site. But the business owners will have more of an opinion. And I don't know that they should have that much say for a free mural on their wall.
For those that have wanted to have a real say, strong say, have not moved forward.
Right. And they won't move forward. It's real simple. Ones that don't care will, and ones that don't do won't.
Yeah.
And it's got to be, I mean, if it was your garage in front of your house, a wall, and it was something that you were not happy with or had a message that you didn't want, you wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, people come to my wall all the time, and I tell them really nicely to go. Diplomatically.
So in your actions tonight, you were looking at the possibility of having criteria that would guide the subcommittee so that the process could be consistent for the applicants. To Erica's point, this is for the artists, right? How do they know what a winning application is to get through the subcommittee with the PAC knowing that what the subcommittee has done has gotten to the best recommendations, and are there criteria that are then articulated to the applicants to serve that?
We can refer to the subcommittee's decision.
Can I raise something new? I mean, it's there, but we haven't actually talked about the thing that makes me the most uncomfortable about the whole process is that artists can submit multiple projects from multiple sites. I've never seen another funder do that, never. I don't think it's appropriate. It's like, oh, you know, this, you like this,
yeah.
You know? Because again, if they have one project, they'll put more work at it. And, you know, it doesn't make sense to let artists apply for different sites to me. I've never seen it. I've never been able to do it.
I never have been able to do it.
Yeah, I've never been on a panel that allowed it.
Yeah,
sure.
And I'll say, like, it's,
you can certainly, that is an explicit question.
I think it should be one application.
Yeah, I agree. Like, on the subcommittee, like, we would have preferred that. Like, because it got really challenging. And
did we say that? Isn't that one of the things that we were talking about? About just limited to one?
Limited to, like, one site location, one application, because it definitely came across that way of, like, it was just like a spray and pray approach. It was like, yeah, I'll just throw the same proposal. Right. I'm like, this is the same proposal. I'm now seeing it all three locations.
Right.
So pick a location, tell them. to get one chance at the lottery.
Yep. It sounds like that's going to be an emotion somebody's going to make.
Let's make a motion.
Well, the only thing is, to what you said, what if it works better on a different wall?
We're not doing that.
Well, so I mean, to that point, because that was a question, they could submit one application.
Right.
That application could say, I am open to this proposal being considered in another more competitive location.
Well, you'll have to write that in their bylaws.
But what I'm looking for is that's something that the body is interested in.
Don't they need the letter of recommendation from the property owner?
Yeah. That's what she asked. That's your answer.
Yeah. Well, that's so negotiable. Want it there, then tell me if it's going to work. You know.
I think that it's one thing.
That's less confusing.
Pick a place that you really think is optimal for your work.
Focus your effort.
All right. I think one has nothing really to do with the other, because you can still be doing that. But if we have more understanding about locations than they do, and we see that working, then you think it's exceptional.
Who is we?
We being the body of the subcommittee, or both.
Yeah.
And you decide, damn, well, this is just really good, but it would work better over here, even though they designed it for that. I mean, that's not going to happen in all cases. I mean, it's such an outlying kind of thing that I don't really think is an issue to maybe just have that in your mind.
Yeah, I think like the way it's structured now, where we have the artists actually kind of like working directly with like the locations, makes this a complicated thing. Versus if we were to restructure the whole program and run it through Norway, we would have more say of managing and facilitating that relationship. But that's a bigger structural change.
Mm.
The compromise in the middle of that could be the locations that the city does have say over, which is city property.
Mm.
And like we have a bunch of those locations. And so maybe like when we want to throw an audible, it's like, oh, that's not right there. What do we have within the Emeryville property locations that we actually do manage that could be
an option? That we just have a public art project that we fund and we all get the vote on it, that we like to, you know, and not a grant. We can fund a call for art that's the city spaces, you guys.
Well, and certainly one of the sites that kind of begged that question was Temescal Creek Park, right? At the end of that process, there was a question of, was there perhaps more money that was a theme throughout the blast, the fans, the back wall and the front wall, and maybe there's a call that's really about celebrating that space and potentially.
And if you do want something that's not a mural, you have to have more money, you guys. If you want a mosaic, more money. You want even a small sculpture. A guy who gets the public mark guy, wait till he gets insurance. He's going to be singing the blues.
I think mosaic was definitely an area where it was smaller work, it was more expensive, and the words I said at the workshop did not ring true later, where we said, like, we're exploring other media, we want to do other things besides murals. And then when it came to the subcommittee and the PAC, it was like, that's too much money for not enough art. And that's why I say, you know, maybe we want to be a little explicit, because that, you know, we were saying inconsistent words to artists, mm-hmm. did not give them the best opportunity to go through. I think some of that will be helped by just better changing the description of the match. What's money you are bringing that you have? Because I think some of the artists were describing money they had from other sources as match to try and strengthen their argument. And I think it got read as, oh, you don't even have enough money to finish this. And so I think we just need to clarify that. I am hearing that so far the things there is consistency about is not changing the visual art committee's role, but there may be an open question of its composition. Limiting awardees for 5 years, I think I've heard.
Yes.
One grant application per cycle.
Or you could, you know, or could you say that, you know, let them submit to three projects and just say no, that you're only gonna get picked for only one.
I think
three times as much work for the artist.
And the committee and the subcommittee.
Yeah.
And then what about sites? Like limit the number of sites that can limit the property owner in terms of how many applications if 20 artists come to them and they like 20 artists and 20 applications, each artist doing one application be submitted, or do you want to limit?
They can see someone like it and then someone else can be like, oh, I like that better. And they take it back.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, because they're not all going to appear at the same time.
What do you suggest, Mo?
So I think the issue that now we've kind of like created a new issue by limiting people to just a single application, and then they put that application into a highly competitive space, completely destroys their ability to kind of like land a project. Because without us communicating to them how competitive that spot is going to be.
Well, yeah, let them know.
Yeah. So then we have to go through another process. And how do you know how competitive it is until they start coming in, you know? So
I mean, artists asked me explicitly. They said, "What sites haven't got somebody applied for yet?" Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
very explicitly answered question.
I mean, I would also say, man. I mean, as an artist, you just have to be confident in your work, and like, there's always going to be competition someplace. Mm-hmm. So if you're gonna like not put something in because there's other people in there, and you're worried about the competition, man, I think you're in the wrong field. Yeah. It's like you just need to be confident about what you do.
Yeah, I mean, one artist, and somebody mentioned, Nigel Sussman, said, you know, this doesn't, you know, to do a proposal without compensation doesn't work for me effectively. And I said, you know, that sounds like a fascinating panel, right? Like this, because on the other hand, some of the things that have been talked about here, there's been flexibility where I've been able to say to an artist that couldn't get a letter of support, well, what about doing it in a different location? Or having an artist find a property that would give them a letter of support that wasn't in our list, and bringing a new property into the location. And certainly with a call where we give compensation for design, those kind of things wouldn't be happening. And so, you know, there's different flexibility that come in with the grant process versus a call, which might be needed for something like Temescal Creek Park.
I agree. I would love a call. I'd like us to do more calls. But so the one that the high school, where they're going to have the kids do it, that reminds me of community grants a lot.
That came up a lot in the discussion.
Okay.
We were like, this feels like it should be more over in that space, because the proposal itself was almost entirely focused around just the community engagement.
I know.
Now, we don't even see what's going to be produced.
I think that was a slightly different, I think that was Tim's proposal, not this one. But there was for the.
And it's just that it's a crossover kind of.
And we had hoped that community promotion grants and visual art grants could be applied to. I mean, no artist is prohibited to applying for both. And we had hoped that, you know, if your paint and materials were $5,000 and your classroom time and, you know, outreach, you would go for both. Now that's hard because maybe you'd get one and not the other. And artists have not been doing that. Like, I don't know if an artist will apply for a bigger one. Are there other changes people are feeling would be helpful to this process? We haven't really talked about adding any explicit criteria or communication to artists.
Well, that's for another thing in terms of evaluation. A lot of these projects and proposals have technical, construction, and practical issues. At what point are those vetted? so that the subcommittee would say, well, no, because the electrical, or you know, it doesn't work to have them spend that much time and then have a review at the end. Would there be some sort of preliminary review for issues that have construction technical issues to set silly?
Some of that constructability on public sites gets forwarded to Public Works for them to review ahead of kind of in considering the letter of support. And I would say that for the most part, the sculptural elements that have happened haven't had, I mean, none of them have had electrical components.
Well, I'm thinking about the under the overpass here, where there were going to be lights. And
oh, that was expensive.
Yeah,
maybe to your point, maybe like they have to, maybe to your point, maybe they have to supply a schematic or something like that. What would you call it? A construction?
Or indicate that they're working with a structural engineer or whatever.
Electrician.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I think you're referring to a problem and a call.
But if that would come up.
Sure.
I only work for that guy who made the sculpture at the public market.
Yeah, you're worried about this process and and certainly Packard Jennings said that, right? Like it costs more than he had anticipated. And he was renting tools or wanting to buy tools that were
renting tools will wipe out your budget.
So this is, some of the questions, and to Erica's point earlier of, well, maybe we need more money.
If you're going to make mosaics, culls, and then if you really want a mosaic, pick where you really want one, I say. Because not all buildings are for mosaics. If we make a mosaic cull, make a mosaic cull.
It is incumbent upon the artist to, when they select a site they want to apply for, that they go and look at it, site conditions and.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be really grounds for rejecting a proposal from someone pictures something that hasn't done
right.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it happens at both the letter of support, right? Mm-hmm. Like the public market evaluated that sculpture. He did have schematic drawings within it, and then it was evaluated by the subcommittee that this looks constructible, maybe not with expertise, but and I think he was asked, would he have a structural engineer? Mm-hmm. We talked about the permitting process in the
does he have to pull a permit?
Yeah.
And he has to have a structural engineer? That cost a bit.
Mm-hmm. But I think what Judy was saying is true. It's like one of the things incumbent upon you as your estimate needs to be accurate. Mm-hmm. You need to know what it's going to cost for you to do it. And if you don't, that's kind
of
like...
Well, that's one of the signs of whether people know what they're doing. $5 is going to cost $5,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think
that shows you how confident they are.
But many artists are so excited to get this money, they do it and they don't have enough money to finish the project.
Right.
I see it at other places a lot, you guys, not here in our city so often, but I've seen it.
That's part of reviewing the proposal project. Right. That you can't, we don't believe you can do this for that amount.
Right, sure. I think the call has been described to artists as a early point of entry. Unlike the calls the city has, which said, hey, you've got to have done a prior project for a public entity. You need to show our ESU reference. And this is, you can try a thing for the first time. Yeah. Right. It might even fail, and we're willing to spend the dollars on you to explore that. Right. That's been the kind of narrative to, this is for the artists.
Well, that's what you do the workshops for, too.
Really, the only thing there is that sculptor. He'd probably be able to make it. He just won't make any money.
I'm not advocating, right?
Also, too, the point
is... Or he might fundraise, right?
As an artist, it's not about the money, because the exposure that he could get will make the money down the road.
There you go. There's an optimist.
Yeah, yeah, that one more.
Story of having this piece through the purchase award sitting in City Hall. When a developer came in and found out they had to do $250,000 worth of public art, they're like, who did that? And they called her up. You know, so exposure, I mean, that's a real story. So
I'm not saying it happened, but how often do you think it happens?
Sure. And artists lose money, right? That is a story that gets sold a lot.
Lots of people. I get the same thing when I proposed to sculpture. I didn't charge much money. I was just charging limited $2,000 for myself. I was spending $4,000 on the application. I never asked for money because I wanted to have it.
Yeah.
Right. That was my.
Did you lose money?
I did lose. I made
$2,000. Yeah. So
you just don't make a lot of money.
Because cutting is not cheap, baby.
I know. $70,000 was the limit, but I didn't go for that. I said no.
And the spread to get to 10 grants was done by having people who had lower dollar amounts. So there is more risk of artists that aren't.
You've said it. If they're entry level, this gets you into your most. They don't hardly do it now, but it used to be when I started out years ago, $25,000 was the entry level grant for public art. And you had to have insurance, structural engineer, and everything on it.
Public art applications are very tough.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, here's really easy, of course.
Yeah, this entry one is easy.
Yeah. So, have we gotten through the things that people want to add and just these tweaks? 5 years, one grant.
One application.
One application.
I said that.
Yeah.
Five years, one grant. I think there should be a cap on how much funding you can get overall. Like, there's a cap that maybe you got awarded $50,000 total. And then you're tapped out.
Forever. I like to spread it out, but I think 2 years not having a grant is pretty good. I mean, there's like three people already in the $30,000 league.
Thomas Jones has his second grant. Juan Lopez got multiple community promotions and then a visual art grant. Packard is at 35. Joey at 35.
So that one more grant and they're done.
Do we have to say something about a grant with the city, so that if they've gotten community grants.
I feel like it should just be for this visual arts grant.
Yeah.
Maybe it's 70K. I don't know. Or maybe it's 100.
Just for the visual art grant.
I don't know. Do you think that's fair? Because that means if we have an artist call, we can't let them do it either.
Well, it wouldn't be a visual arts grant then. It would be a
I don't want to be limiting totally to people.
Well, it seemed like there was. I'm concerned about setting up things where the subcommittee hears that it's 50,000. They're doing the third grant to somebody that I just named. And the subcommittee and the PAC, which is tonight, said, I have real problems with the fact that last cycle and the cycle before this artist got it, and I didn't want to do it this time. And now there's a recommendation that comes and they're allowed because it's under 50,000, yet there's still that. I mean, it's been said in this room. So I'm just a little.
That's why the PAC meets. You can say, I don't want to fund that. Even if they meet all the requirements, you don't have to fund it.
But
even if it's suggested, you don't have to fund it.
And
yeah, but Terrence started with an ask to the rest of the group of how do we have a subcommittee that feels like their work was respected and they had clear criteria for what they were to deliver, and it, you know, and so that just, I just want to make sure that that's respected.
So wouldn't it be good to just give the subcommittee as they're meeting a list of previous recipients and dollar amounts?
Sure. Because they don't have that now. Is that correct? They don't have that information?
We do. You can bring it up. Like if we ask, you can dig it up.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's that hard to find.
I mean, yeah, I think it's talked about.
I will say, though, it's like, you know, so, okay, if we back it up, like, you know, the visual art program is supposed to be kind of like this thing where we're kind of getting, you know, emerging artists or whatever. It's kind of an easier entry point. And that's why we're kind of introducing this gap, because, like, why are we still having, like, artists kind of, like,
who are making so much money.
So much money off it.
They're not really entry level.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, I think I don't really like putting like a cap into the system directly as of this like monetary point, because we have artists that have been in the city for 40 years.
More money than that.
Yeah.
And we'll never be allowed to do anything.
I think it's like, I think just like the 5 year, if you win 5 years, you can't come back. I think so, like that is like enough of a drag on. Like,
yeah, I think 5 years is enough of a drag.
You know, but I think a word that you use that might be good maybe to apply, maybe, I mean, emerging artists, visual arts grant, which means it's based upon you've not received.
Well, that's sort of a fuzzy term.
I think we should give, like,
and maybe we have two different kinds.
If you want to go to like points or something, it's like, oh, if it's your first time applying, we're going to give like an extra point or something like that.
It's sort of like reaching different constituencies. We encourage people, whoever they are, that this is an opportunity.
Emerging and or you've never received, or you might have applied before, but you've never received an award. Right. But if you have.
And I think you even kind of like see it in like the applications. The people that apply a lot, they know how to apply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The emerging people, they are at a huge deficit because they don't know the game. And so it's like this in a way kind of introduces like a little bit of a level of equity of like giving them a little bit of a boost that we're going to like.
Somebody who does it for their business all the time, they know how to apply.
They know how to apply. But like a new artist doesn't, and like their proposals reflect that.
Well, so that's why you do proposal writing workshops, you know?
We need a proposal writing workshop then for people.
Yeah, I thought it was helpful.
If we want to reach a new group, we need it for
Just a question again from my, it's apart from all this. So you are allowing the artists to apply in different properties, to different properties.
Right.
Supposing one artist is very, really good and three properties like his work, then how do you decide?
You don't. We're only letting one happen.
I know.
But that artist would need to decide which of those locations were the most compelling sites. Mike is thinking.
Well, but that goes back to one application.
One application.
Well,
that's better.
We're voting for one application.
That is good. That's what I'm saying. Supposing three playback going on?
No, I think it'll save time.
Yeah, one application will save time.
The artist would then, if they had asked multiple locations, they would decide which of those they wanted to submit.
And they can go talk to them, maybe that business owner wants to pay for a mural. I would love that people pay for their own murals.
Something that, like, you know, might be, since we're going to, like, I think we're all kind of agreeing, like, let's just keep people to just a single proposal.
Yeah.
And that just kind of, like, being the way forward. We do have, like, this competitive runoff process that you've kind of, like, done. There might be an opportunity where it's like we reach out to people. It's like, okay, we've narrowed it down to like this, and your proposal didn't make it to the cut. Maybe we maybe the runoffs is just like two or three to any single location. Anyone who didn't get in, like, we let them know that, like, they've been eliminated, and then they can re-propose to a different location. It's like, hey, you have like a week to, or you just reject them completely.
Yeah, one shot of things.
Like, you're one shot, goodbye. Like, you're not even going to get a vote. Yeah.
And it's next year. Sometimes you're eliminated from the playoffs.
Right.
And then there's some, I don't know how we can do, but at the high school, there were people who wanted to work with the art teacher and do projects. More of those things. But how do you?
That sounds like a committee path.
And how do you do that?
That does sound like
is, would that, is that grant be a, go to that, not an art grant?
Yeah, if somebody wanted to work with a teacher to produce
the art teacher, photography,
you're on the committee.
You can't apply to the community grant either. I got a community grant when I was on this.
I believe you can. I may have you can apply for community promotion. I believe that is true.
You can. You can apply for it.
So 5 years is a little odd because the grants are on 2 year cycles. So I think we're doing so 4 years. That's 4 years. The last two cycles. Okay. So two cycles, one grant app for, and then what was limitations on sites? Is there no word on that?
I think it's going to change, you know, every.
Whether or not sites.
The site person. If it could be more.
If there could be, if a site can produce, you know, recommend. 30 artists.
No.
A site can recommend artists.
Sign letters of support. Is there any limitation on the number of grants that will be considered for an individual site?
Do we have numbers on that right now?
Well,
what is like the most that a site has written?
Stanford had 6.
Yeah.
Public Market had 5 or 6.
They have a big space, though.
Right, right. And there is that difference, right? Is it a direct conflict, like you couldn't fund them because it'd be on the same space versus it's one, you know, it's a blown door.
Hammaskill was the city.
There's 6 applicants. You look at those applicants for that site, you say, this is the one we like.
But does that particular site have multiple spaces, or is it just one space? So it's like if it's yours, it's just one wall, or is it they have
so five varied, walls? Right? There, so this is kind of the two separate questions.
What? Great question, because we have 2 that we just awarded at the same site.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the public market, right, so do you want to allow that? Right?
I would allow it. It's a big space.
Size.
The high school is big, too.
ECCL is another example of that.
If it's a location that only has one wall, I mean, 20 applicants, that's a little much.
Well, that's why we have to go through that process of, you know, like, doing like a runoff to kind of narrow it down.
Would you like to make a recommendation to property owners? Would you like to?
Surely it's going to be annoying for the property owner to be like, here's my 20th artist.
And nobody is, right? I mean, to Erica's point, like, where was it highest? It was highest at the public market where they were getting a lot of. In part because they were responsive, right? You'd come back. But they also refused some artists. I know that they
refused. So at the Temescal, who signed off at the Temescal Park?
I did, or an engineer did.
Okay. So, and how many applications did we have there? Like 4 or 5?
3, Muralis, Thomas, Jess and Rael, so 6.
I mean, if it were, I would say 3 to 5 per however many spaces you have. So if you only have one wall, I'd say 3 to 5. If you have like 5 walls, 3 to 5 per space, per
unique placement.
Mm-hmm. Unique. Yeah.
Okay.
Does anybody
have... No. I mean, there's nobody's doing more than that.
Yeah, I just...
I think there's a lot of debate over, like, site issues.
Yeah. I think, you know, until we kind of completely restructure it to, like, the ways that the angel does, it sounds like the better way to go. It sounds
way easier.
Like,
can we put that in future notes?
But it's in the mural program. The city had a mural program, and they stopped doing mural programs to do it in the lecture and whatnot. So they're paid again.
Right. So, but the other thing is that if assigning an artist, having the city assign an artist to a site means that that artist has not looked at that site for site conditions and
well, they should. How they do it in San Andreas?
Because they don't know that they're getting assigned that site.
Well, they should. So what the city does is they put out in the RFQ RFP, these are the 12 sites that are up for grabs. Take a look at all of them. When you are applying to all 12.
Oh,
and
they really
choose. Then you may be chosen for one of the 12 sites if you get awarded.
That's murals, though, right? Because it's pretty consistent.
And they don't have a sculpture call.
They do have a sculpture call.
Do they ask the sculptor to bid 12 sites?
That part I don't
know. I hope not.
I think what could work, but again, I don't know if I'm going to like have a debate about restructuring the entire
building. Are all the sites the same square feet?
I think that the city.
Yeah, whatever happened to it.
Should facilitate.
I'm glad that doesn't happen.
Property owner, mm-hmm. But the property owner should be able to give like criteria. I'm looking for this.
It's the same thing everywhere.
Right.
So that's kind of what we have the same.
And then the artist directly apply to that.
Yeah.
That location.
And you can do that. You can put parameters like this site prefers something floral.
Right.
But we also said that too.
Yeah. You know? And then again, the property owner still gets a choice, like 3 to 5, or say there's 6 floral artists that end up getting chosen. That's who they get to choose from. So they're just condensed down and vetted. Because then it's really about the artwork, the story behind the artwork, not necessarily like placement, which may or may not be important, but like obviously Chris Bonillo's stuff with kids on a school makes sense at school. But could it not be somewhere else and still be impactful? Who's to say it can't be on the library or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So, well, it's not patient, but it just sounds like a lot of sight.
No, but I mean, with the community, not the community grants, but the...
There's some excitement about that.
The purchasing awards, when those decisions are made, when the subcommittee makes recommendations for the purchase award, there are specific sites that are pieces are
because we only have that space.
No, because when the purchase award happens, like they still it's chosen and then where it goes is determined after. Because mine I won the purchase award and they didn't determine where my art was going to go.
Right.
You walked me around a bunch of different sites and it was like, okay, just I like this one. And you were like, okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the work, right? Some work like yours, which is we can put it on a wall flat within these dimensions, versus a work that
sculpture
may have the vision. This is further the issue about the purchase award and additional locations will be complicated by the fact that the residencies, which you're now funding, are all going to generate art. Considering those,
we need a warehouse.
That the purchase award are. And it may come up to the lending program, right? And so we talked about that.
Yeah, we need somewhere to put artwork.
And I have a revised presentation for you next month when you consider.
For the lending award?
No, for the location. What?
I was going to say, we need a place to put art. How about that gallery that's not open?
Good.
I certainly feel if
someone wants to call the question, raise a motion. There are some things that you've gotten coalition around and some things that maybe you're unanswered, and you know, maybe there be.
Well, I make the motion to approve all the items that we have a consensus on.
That's very wise.
Would you state any of those? Well, would you like me to state?
I prefer you.
My understanding is this motion would revise the grant guidelines to have applicants be prohibited from applying if they've been given awards in the last two cycles.
Yes.
That applicants in the current, in the future cycle would be limited to applying for one grant. You've talked about sites. You could include or not include, you know, that site that 3 to 5 sites at could be considered at any one location, and 3 to 5 applications per
site
per those locations. Yeah.
I thought that was recommendations, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a record that the grant criterion documentation would say it would give some guidance around sites. There was talk about the possibility of having people be able to, I don't even know. Is anybody else got anything that there's
I think that's the motion.
That's good.
Rick has made a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Is there any discussion, or shall we call the roll?
What about the thing that you're going to check with the attorney about?
That's the whether we have closed sessions or not.
Yeah.
That does, that's the place.
The city attorney, if any review of grants can be in closed door. Okay, so with that friendly amendment, there's an ask regarding that, and if the answer is suggestive of a process you'd like to implement, that this motion includes it, to the extent allowed by the city attorney, you'd like to amend the process to have closed deliberations. Is the fourth point. Okay. So the motion, a second. No discussion, except for the friendly amendment. Salma.
Yes.
Erica.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Vicky Joe.
Yes.
Rick.
Yes.
Judy.
Yes.
Ron.
Yes.
Durin.
Yes.
Thank you for your time and attention. It is 7:30. Do you wish to have an update given to you on, you know, that teal sheet with the updates? And there's updates about the Art Center and the Rotten City Cultural District are all within that. So if you want updates about that, we would need to go to that information.
I think we're probably capable of reading it, but does anyone have another question? It changes. I mean, were there any changes?
I would like to know what's happening with the Art Center.
I would also like to say that Vicky Jo earlier in the conversation said that she wished to see more calls. The call you as a body have said you want to see move forward is a call related to expressing a Lonnie presence in Emeryville.
Only thing I have is that the meeting got delayed once because of scheduling issues. The meeting with them is on June 10th.
Yeah.
I thought it was a meeting with Karina Gold, who's the chairperson. I was told that the entire Sogorea Trust wishes to have that discussion. I'll be on it. Amber is available, I think the two of us.
Yeah.
And then we'll report back.
And it's the day before your June 11th meeting. So I think we'll just have informational report of how
that's going. I actually won't be at the June meeting.
Okay. So
it's actually happening.
What?
It's actually happening. It's making progress.
And the Art Center, as you know, the council, or I think you've been reported to before, that the council took act, had a study session to recommend, and I don't think I have, I mean, I get to the art center, so I've seen it.
When the formation of a nonprofit.
Yeah, to recommend. Hire an executive director and have programming in advance of their line, in advance of any capital development. So capital dollars will be used to do these, this, that body.
So they're going to look for a director first. Okay.
And form a nonprofit.
And now what's happening, anything happening on the 4509 gallery?
Gallery 4509, with John Bowders being named as the director of the current show. We believe that the next conversation around Gallery 4509 would be with him. And so the thought would be that perhaps the proposed tour with himself, Albert, who is the chair of the Celebration of the Arts, and Dom, who is the president of the 45th Street Artist Co-op, could all meet through the site, think about either activities under the Celebration of the Arts or what other alternatives. It's on 4509 Horton Street in the corner building next to the plaza in the Emory.
Yeah.
It's a little bit hard to find.
He's serving as the director for the Celebration of the Arts.
The Celebration of the Arts and the director, Sharon.
Just for this year.
Very well. So she
stepped out of the big 40s.
So we have a new director.
It's the 40th anniversary of the 45th Street Corporation.
Okay.
So they had their 50th, We Exist.
And then you get a card. And John Bounder has got a direction.
So Bell have the studios, and that can all be part of Art and Culture Month.
But there's 4509.
There is a new artist. On my claim the table. There is a new artist starting their residency on the 16th
of May.
Which is 2 days from now, is Saturday.
Yeah.
So the last day to see Freddie is tomorrow, and he's got this mural that sticks out from the wall. You should check it out. It's very Escher. Very Escher.
How did he do?
He did really great, you know. He had, for his opening, he did the artist reception. He had a poetry reading the next day, and then he did a workshop conversation around AI and art. And had really nice discussion for that. So, and he's still focused and so serious. It's really funny to see him. I just know him as a graph artist who's now he does this mandala thing and infinite geometry stuff, and he's just so honed in. So this residency really enabled him to hone into his practice and push himself. And
it's a really good show.
Right. It's really, you've done really well. I know, I have a piece on hold right now. And I saw the piece that he is. Oh.
Yeah.
Sold a piece. There is a person who became a very big fan. If you go by the space, sometimes he's in there and he's in it. He bought 10 to 15K.
Really?
Yeah,
he just keeps buying from Freddie. And we're like,
careful, Freddie.
So,
as a collector, be happy.
He is super jazzed about the opportunity and very grateful. And he really put in the work. He was there till midnight and just jamming and just.
So tomorrow was the last day.
So nice.
Yeah.
So he's from Abington.
Yeah.
He's having a rap. Or he's just closing it up?
No, he's just closing it up. Yeah.
And the schedule or the list of all the cohort is attached to this packet. His flyer. I'll send you out the newest hours. Actually, the hours aren't on the flyer.
No, but I have at my house an open sign with hours that you write in. So it is getting delivered to Bay Street.
And if that could also be sent to, so yeah, we can put it in the news flash and so forth. And so for a sculptor.
The new
artist. And so this raises the question of a sculpture that is potentially going to be given to the city. And the artist had questions about that. And so we've said, her theme is around welcome. And we've said, well, we've got the right side of the front door of City Hall for a wooden sculpture. So hopefully that inspires her, perhaps smaller scale than the one we walked around. But so, and then the San Francisco Estuary Partnership is sponsoring a residency. The timing of that is yet to be certain, but it is actually a longer residency, 2 or 3 months. And maybe for multiple artists, and they'll be providing about $25,000, I think.
And that will be a call?
It'll be a call, similar to how they ABG did the call for Rotten City residencies. But it'll have specific terms around environmental advocacy and sea level rise and expression. That's coming and expected, and the call will be released probably.
And that's a good amount of money.
Yeah.
So those were the two questions I heard.
Now, what about October? What are we doing in October for?
There are multiple proposals for things at Gallery 4519. There's the potential of this stabilized residency.
At 4519?
No, October. Your question was about October.
Oh, okay.
There will be tours as there were. The co-op is going to have their studios be open. And there is the 40th anniversary of the Celebration of the Arts. And there is a conversation to be had about whether or not that returns to the public market, or is there a site where perhaps it could be done with joint other shows related to Art and Culture Month. There were a variety of proposals around mental health for residencies that didn't get awarded, but perhaps they could have a joint show, is being talked about as a possibility for something as part of Art and Culture Month. And then we are trying to have, I think it was 4 or 5 of the grants for the visual art grants that you've recommended to City Council had indicated that they could install their work and have an unveiling in October. So there
could
be quite a bit more presence within that context.
Amber, regarding this 6.2 here, is this for our PAC members that are here, or is this for
the 6.2? There are currently 3 PAC members who are reapplying: Mike,
Vicky,
Greg, and Vicky. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Salma is not reapplying, but you'll be here next month, right?
Yeah, it'll be next month.
We'll be at Salma's last meeting. And then there are 4 applicants in addition for that vacancy, or competing with existing member seats, but seven applicants for 4 spots. And then the new process, just to clarify, is that applicants are being brought to the Budget and Governance Committee, which will
next
be
Thursday,
next Thursday, the 21st. They postponed it because there were those low applications. And that's at 3 p.m. in this room, I believe.
3 p.m., not 3:30?
3 p.m. is what I was told by the city clerk. That will then go to the City Council on June 16th. a recommendation from that. And so there won't be interviews. Attendance is not compulsory at that meeting. And then they're recommending that to the city council.
So city council selects the member for the
city council makes is new, used to, you know, get it straight to them and they do it. Now they're getting a consent item from the budget and governance committee and they're just approving it.
So the budget committee is deciding who to put in front of the
budget and governance, which is a subcommittee of the council. So it's two council members.
And they're choosing who to recommend.
Which members are they?
I don't know the membership. As some of you who have in the past, it was a pretty rigorous, long.
But it was great because, again, we got to see everybody was on other committees. I liked seeing who was applying for the planning commission. It was interesting to see which people would do it. Now we have even less interaction with the city council.
Planning commission is a special case, though.
Yeah, it is. But don't you like to see who's on it?
Well, yeah, it's really important.
Right. I like seeing who's on it. Now we won't be seeing who's on it.
No, but I don't think that goes on.
Is planning commission done the same way as this committee?
It's not going to be on the consent calendar, is it?
Hopefully.
I think it is.
Oh, really?
It was good to see who. I had learned a lot about the aging committee. I learned a lot about Marks by seeing who was joining the committees. It was, again, made a better community, but what does that matter?
I'm happy to say.
Somebody in there.
Miriam Bay, Dave Beeman, Denise Stuber, and Teresa Fortuna.
Oh,
did in the plan?
The person I said apply, but I didn't hear their name. So
Denise?
No, mine.
Miriam?
My client was a woman named Stephanie Summersill. She said she got the letter or the email that said the meeting was postponed until.
That's right. I just didn't. This is who I was CC'd on, so they must not have CC'd. Yeah.
Teresa Fortune, didn't they?
So I answered your question now. 6.2. And to your point, 7.1, future agenda items, Gallery 4.9, to be determined. Maloney Art Project.
Good though that it's moving on. It's at least has some direction.
John is joining the partner meeting next week.
Yeah. Oh, good. And I talked to him today as well.
Adjourn. This is so we'll call to adjourn the public art committee meeting on May 14th, 2026 at 7:44 p.m. Thank you very much.
People having lovely.